You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Galactic Hollowhead! Welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Blythe, better known as Kelvin Tiberius, the captain of the ship. Joining me today is Blair Bunky, better known as Chip Shanner. What's up, Blair?
Hey, fam. How you doing?
Not doing too bad. Hey, I saw an awesome tweet about you on Fantasy Flight Games Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It said you were the only person to bring Talas in the entire Coruscant tournament.
Well, what do you expect?
You know what? Nothing. I like want to get that thing framed. Also joining me today is Mark Fletcher, better known as Sable Griffin, ship's cabin boy. What's up, Sable, man? How's it going?
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm glad to have you back here to talk about swarms and whatnot, because we're going to go over the Empire later on. Because I know that Tyler said this. Actually, okay, also joining us today is Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger 72, the ship's cook. What's up, Tyler?
What's going on? Tyler, back from a summer hiatus.
What did you call us in some podcast chat that we're in about the retirement? I don't know. It's your thing that you said, right? I thought it was so funny.
So there was a running joke about a couple of podcasts fighting over Dallas Parker and like custody of Dallas Parker. And I just commented that if they couldn't figure out who had custody, he would obviously come to the oldest podcast because he's an OG Swarm player. And this is the podcast where Swarm players go to die.
Yeah. I like the idea of us in like some like old folks home with just like a minimum of 7 ships on the table, but we don't know what they do anymore. You know,
I was going with the 6 Swarm player.
You see, I did Rebel 5s, but or I did all of them. But still, I'm completely with you. Like, it could be anything.
Well, and when you say 6-ship Swarm, most people think TIE Fighters, but I put a lot of work in with 5 Zs and a Hawk.
Right. Oh, my God. Also, finally joining us today is the guy getting us where we got to go, Will Barnacle, better known as Will Barnacle, but misspelled, the ship's designated driver. Will, thanks for driving us around today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. So, guys, let's just jump in because we've got a lot to cover. We're going to go over the Coruscant tournament. A couple of our guys went there, and I thought it was, honest to goodness, a pretty fun tournament to watch. And so we're going to get into that, and then we also are finally going to finish covering the existing factions. We're going to talk about the Empire faction, some of the strong points. Obviously, there's a lot. And some of the things that we think that you should look at. And then we're going to go over our gunboat contest winner. So let's go ahead and start. Blair and Tyler, you guys went to Coruscant, right? You were our representatives, we should say.
Yeah.
Caitlin went for 2 games.
Yeah.
Okay, Caitlin went before leaving for a cruise.
All right. Blair, can you tell me about that? Because I think I heard about this, but honest to goodness, I almost didn't believe it. So he played 2 games. Why did he only play 2 games?
He booked his cruise from like a year and a half ago, first of all, this cruise sounds like absolutely incredible. You like literally go on this ship and it's just like a giant like gaming convention. Other than that, it's just like a standard cruise with all the other.
What do you mean by gaming convention?
It's conventions? Like, 'cause that could be anything
It's like a 40k miniatures. Cruise.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
No,
but there's
way.
Other games too.
Yeah.
So
okay, it's not just a 40k cruise. It is a group of 40k players that all take a cruise together and then rent out the convention rooms at the bottom of the boat to play 40k and as part of the cruise while they're there. So it's on like a Royal Caribbean huge big boat that other people are out cruising in, but then whenever they decide they don't want to be like up in the sun because they're nerds, they, you know, get out in the basement, play board games and such.
Oh man, like I am.
How typical.
Right?
Like I feel something for that. Like I've, I feel like romantically interested in that.
He was explaining this, like when I picked him up from the airport.
Oh man.
And, it was, it basically kind of started out as a joke because they would have these big tournaments and they wanted like, you know, the big prize. Right. And so they're like, why don't we send someone on a cruise? And so that, like, that was the grand prize. Plus they raffled one off. And then I guess the next year there was like a whole group from the, like, we all want to go on a cruise together. And it just kind of went from there.
That's so funny. All right. So didn't he, like, wait a second, how far back did he book this thing? Cause I mean, he had to know it was like, okay, let me be fair. I'd way rather go to that than Coruscant. Like, never mind. I'm done.
Well, so it was like a year ago and he basically figured out that it was like an extra $100 to just stop in Minnesota for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Before, because that's his effective connecting flight, getting from West Coast to Miami, where he was, or Orlando, something like that, mm-hmm. where he was shipped out of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he just stopped. I picked him up from the airport. He came, hung out, next day played a few games, then went back to the airport and flew down.
That's awesome.
Did you hear about Joe Desmond, Tyler? Was that you that told me that?
Yeah.
What happened? You have to explain this.
So he basically was using a... I'd never heard of this before, but this is probably a thing with people that travel. You can find plane tickets that are, so from like your, so if you're flying out of LA, right, and you want to go to Minneapolis, that plane ticket will cost X. It's entirely possible that there is a plane ticket that is from LA to somewhere else that happens to stop in Minneapolis that is cheaper. So as long as you don't check any bags, you just don't make your connecting flight.
That's
and
amazing.
That's what he did. It was like a flight. Wasn't it like Toronto or Montreal?
Yeah, it was something weird. Yep.
He just never got on the plane.
I think that's clever. Honestly.
Yeah. It is. It's totally clever.
You can only do it with one-way flights because if you do round trip, they'll cancel your second half.
Correct.
Still, though, that's awesome. All right. So what did you guys actually bring? Blair, what did you bring to the tournament? We did already mention the six Talas, but what did you end up flying?
So, humble brag, or whatever you want to call it. I had played like 10 games in 2.0 before this event. So I was like, okay, I get free Leia. I guess I'll try to cram as many ships in with her as I can, I guess. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So it was six Talls with Crockshot and the PS2 Ewing with Leia, and that was it, 199. Went all right. It went 5-1, finished as I think it was the 7th seed. And I had the toughest strength of schedule, too, and the toughest extended strength of schedule, whatever that stuff means. And then I got matched up against William Hagwood in top 32,
mm-hmm.
and he was flying a really nasty list. It was dread.
I love his list, like, completely. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's some kind of Will brainchild. But yeah, go ahead. What was he flying?
It was Drea with a dorsal turret, two, whatever the PS1, I blank on the name, PS1 Z95s, and then three PS1 quad jumpers, and then L337. So
yeah, the banana virus, right? Aren't they the
the binary PS1? Yeah. That's it. So yeah,
I and, do love that swarm. Will, like, that seems up your alley too, except they don't blow up.
Yeah, I even told Will that list would be more exciting with a couple dead man switches involved.
Anyways, how'd that game go, Blair?
Not too good. I didn't play my best. I felt like the rust finally caught up with me that game. Like I was telling Tyler, I got to round six on day one, and I was finally flying up against another U-wing, and the guy starts out and he like coordinates a boost to wedge.
No.
I look down and go,
Blair,
oh, shit,
no.
This is that coordinator.
Blair, no.
Yeah.
I played 10 games. What the hell do you expect? I don't know this shit.
I expect you to look at the action bar on the freaking card, man.
No. let's just say I was real sad because after he explained that, I was like, okay, Blair, this is going to happen. You have Leia. Hagwood's going to tractor beam you onto a rock. You're going to pop Leia. You're going to stop. And then you're going to coordinate the barrel roll off that rock. And it's going to be awesome. And then the perfect setup happened. And then he was like, but there was a ship range one of my U-Wing that I wanted to
target. I forgot I had coordinate. Like, and he pulled a really nice move where he did a two reverse to block a 4K, and like as soon as he flipped the dial, I was like, oh yeah, they can do that, can't they? So
man, those things really were, like, in my opinion, one of the stars of the tournament was how well those or at least how annoying those tugboats were.
They're incredible. They're way better than, they don't die like 1.0 tugboats. That's why it's like they don't get nuked off the board in one turn. I mean, 1.0 is like you maybe got one tractor off and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
They're, I don't know what the point difference is, but they definitely felt a lot better.
Yeah, and to your point, didn't they get a points reduction?
Yeah, they're cheaper.
On top of that, right? So even if they do die, it means less. Ugh,
yeah.
Ugh, God.
Anyways,
you go ahead.
Drea is 44 points for 180 degree arc. Anything in that you get like that is just ridiculous. So, yeah. He played really well. I was actually pretty surprised, to be honest. Mm-hmm. For a random play, I was pretty. He played really well. So yeah, it was had a blast.
So what was your favorite thing you did outside of the actual tournament?
Going to dinner with the craze. I was Which so happy with that, Tyler.
Oh, you mean the Sunday night?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. Saturday night. Yeah, for sure. That was, well, it's going with the crates. It was what? Josh, me, you, Chris, and who else?
Tim.
Oh, yeah, and Tim.
Yeah.
So it was just the five of us.
Josh Holt was telling me. So he was flying Luke Skywalker gunner on Nora.
The Ark?
The Ark, not the Y-Wing Nora. Of course, what? You can't take Luke on the Y-Wing.
Yeah, he spent 30 points on a force point.
Simply to hit the over. That was all the only reason. So he played one of my locals in round two or three. I won't do him the disservice of saying who it was, even though I don't think he'd care because he's a pretty laid-back guy. But Josh ended up winning the game. And the funny is, my local got two crits into Nora. They were both blinded pilots, which is, you cannot modify attack dice except with force tokens. And he said it like totally made a difference in the game too, because it was like hit eyeball at blue.
That's
two shots.
Absolutely ridiculous. All right.
I got to be on stream three times, so if anyone wants to check out those games, two were Gold Squadron, one was FFG Live. They had me on the live stream, the official one, and the producer comes up. And he's like, all right, do you guys have any notable tournament finishes? I go, I never won shit. So, yeah.
Except for, like, top twoing a bunch of system opens. But, you know, that's fine.
Top twoing a bunch of tournaments. I'm known for that.
Yeah.
All right. So, Tyler, what'd you end up bringing?
So, I did a Whisper Swarm, so it was Whisper with four Planetary Sentinel Strikers, mm-hmm. and Whisper has Sloan, Admiral Sloan, on board, and then the prerequisite Ruthlessness, mm-hmm. or Ruthless, sorry, we lost the Ness.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's basically five three-dice attack guns that if you kill anybody but Whisper, outside of me making a mistake, and I've yet to have this happen. There hasn't been a Sentinel that's gone down that hasn't been within the Sloan bubble, then you gain two stress.
Mm-hmm.
And also, any time that you are stressed, if my ships are near Whisper, range 0 to 3, then they get a reroll against you. So it's a really good anti-ace list. It turns off linked actions. It turns off a lot of that kind of stuff. Han Gunner crew for Scum. Things like that. Mm-hmm. You have to suddenly really think Tua for Empire. Like, do you really want that reinforce? Because that's going to make me hit you a lot harder if you do.
Right.
So it was, I think it's a very powerful list, and it is very fun to fly because mm-hmm. you have Decloak and four ailerons on top of your five dials every turn.
Right, so you could
and
be
all your ships can barrel roll. Like, yeah. And all your ships can barrel roll. So, like, it's a little tough to mentally think through like your turns a couple of times, and I absolutely, you know, I had one or two bumps every game. Like, okay, that's going to happen. My biggest problem with the list is I had flown it twice before going to Coruscant. Oh, like I got all four of my strikers a week before Coruscant and played two games with them and didn't win either game.
Oh God.
one was against me.
Yeah. Yeah. And got to Coruscant, and my first opponent was Jesper Hill, who was the top overall Swiss standing person.
Yeah, that's
so. And I was the only person to kill a ship on day one against him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very tight game. It was very fun. And it came down to I attempted a block on Fenn that missed by a quarter millimeter, maybe. Like, I have a picture of it.
He was flying three fangs, right?
No, Fenn, Old T, and then Pelob and the Hawk.
Oh, right. So, okay.
Because he had that Boba Fett crew, right? And Pelob's really good and just a dick. Mm-hmm. So,
I love Pelob so much.
Yeah, so I missed my block by a quarter of a millimeter, which let Fenn focus, that also happened to just barely have Whisper in arc at range one.
Mm-hmm.
And he proceeded to roll four hits and a crit, like spending the focus to get the four and a crit and one-shotting Whisper. And I had already crippled Old T and stripped the shields off the Hawk and was ready to just have my victory lap of all my strikers, just go murder everything. And then I was playing against two super fangs with PS1 ships, and it was not fun anymore.
So, how'd you end up doing on the day?
So I went 2-1 in the opening section, and then I played Nathan ID on Gold Squadron stream,
mm-hmm.
and I made the mistake of actually playing the game.
Right, yeah, because I watched that game. Me and Travis did the crate cast on it.
Yeah.
And Nathan did this thing that I think he's pretty well famous for, which is refusing to play and winning and just going for his win condition at all costs. Yeah.
He absolutely, like, okay, I shouldn't say he refused to play in the sense I pointed 5 3 dice guns at Luke for 60 minutes. So obviously Luke can't point at that, right? That's a terrible decision. You don't just fly into that. That's nothing. That's nothing against Nathan. It's just the typical way I would play that is to fortress all four strikers in a corner and let Whisper just run around them until he absolutely committed. Cause he had three multiple reposition aces that were all PS4 or higher. Right. So it's Sabine, Miranda, and Supernatural Luke. So even if I get the close block or get a trap, you can almost always slip through it. And you see that multiple times in that game. So I actually chased. I chased for probably 50 minutes. I made a mistake on a shot from Miranda. I spent an evade token on Whisper that I shouldn't have because it stopped me from recloaking.
Mm-hmm.
And had I recloaked, I think I win the game because he doesn't catch Whisper then.
Yeah, I remember that exactly. And that was brutal.
Oh, no, it's probably the one before that. Like, it's not the, it's one that's innocuous. If you're looking at it, you're just like, oh yeah, he spends the evade. It was then I had to come in, and then the following turn I was in the asteroid field and I couldn't get out. If I don't spend the evade, I can decloak and I'm on the south side of the board with all the strikers still between me and Luke.
Right.
And that's just one of those, I didn't have enough reps with it yet. Like, it's looking back, I go, oh, this is an easy call now. I just take a shield. I still have another shield. It's no big deal. And basically a 75 minute game comes down to he torped Whisper once and got her to half points and now I lose.
Right. Right. So,
that like super put me on tilt because I played some Punishers after that and then I didn't care. So I went 2-4.
In the Nathan game, I think, and granted, I don't know if this was just the angle of on the stream, but when you basically were setting up the Luke kill box, like early on, mm-hmm. I swear I was screaming at the monitor. I'm like, barrel roll that front striker, barrel roll that front striker. Cause that would have blocked the four forward out. But I don't know if you had.
No, I wouldn't have because I had blocked a supernatural boost. So either I block the four forward, but he just boosts and still goes over the top, or I block the boost and he gets over, right? Like, I can't block both.
Oh, okay. That would have been the thing. Okay.
Yep.
That's
so fair. I didn't because I kept them. I didn't know that he was going straight, and I wanted to stop all of his supernatural options so that he only had one action that turn.
Okay, I guess, also the thing. You couldn't see the rock. Like, I wasn't quite sure if he did do the supernatural. Is he going to clear that rock, or is he going to end up on that rock?
No, I didn't think so at all. But, okay. I mean, it was a tight game. I felt I flew pretty well. It was, you know, there was one mistake. And then at the end of the game, I should have all-end Sabine. Like, I could have put four guns on Sabine, and he couldn't have gotten out of it. I don't know if I kill her with that, right? But like I had the option of doing that, and yeah, I instead like tried to peel back towards Miranda.
It's almost like you got to go for it for the points. And
yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was in the... I went for Miranda because she was more expensive than Whisper was. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping to be able to half point Miranda and keep a half point Whisper. But like if I just go kill Sabine, that's the better call.
Right.
Oh, well, live and learn, right?
Yeah, what do you do?
But it was a fun event. It was a fun event. Fly like anybody that just wants to fly ships that are fun, like Strikers are really fun and they're way better than they were in first edition. And Sloan is a really, really good crew card. Yeah. Play with Sloan a lot more.
You're spoiling the Empire section, Tyler.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
What was your favorite thing that you did outside of the tournament?
Oh, 100%. Blair. I got there Thursday night because Blair and I were supposed to go drinking all day Friday.
Yeah, Blair.
You don't need to rub it in any further. I already
feel bad enough about it. Blair had a miscommunication about what day he was flying in, so I got there a day early. No big deal. So on Friday, Mario Party for the Switch came out, and so there was probably 8 of us, I think. So there's like 4 different people or 5 different people that all went to like a local Target or GameStop that is right there, and we all bought Mario Party. So we all had our Switches sitting in there. So while everyone else is like playing Team Epic or playing practice games or whatnot, we're hanging out playing Mario Party off in a corner and having a better time than everybody else in all of the game center.
That's ridiculous, but hilarious.
Yeah, and so then we transitioned into playing like Age of War and other just fun, like I guess after I left, they played Secret Hitler. So just like hanging out with a bunch of people, having fun playing just other board games that are chill and relax. You know what I mean?
So did either of you actually go to the hyperspace format, the organized play announcement? Did either of you actually go to that?
Yeah, well, we were all there. That announcement happened, like, so it was, we had to be there at 9 a.m. on Saturday, I think it was, for, like, check-in. Uh-huh. And then it was after everyone was checked in, that's when they did the announcement.
All right, so what did they announce? Like, they announced a new format, right?
Yes. So, basically, as best as I can remember, which is generally pretty good, one of the things that I am good at in life is remembering, like, verbatim what people say.
Okay.
My mom was a court reporter, and so she beat that crap into me from a young age. And so the main organized play guy was there. He came out, and he basically got everybody to quiet down and was like, okay, everyone raise their hand if you think second edition is the organized play format that we're going to follow. Second edition meaning only things that have been released for Wave 2, or right, for the second edition of the game.
Right.
And, you know, some people raised their hand, and then he was like, okay, who thinks Extended is going to be the organized play that we're going to follow for like the organized play track? And a bunch of other people raised their hand. He was like, well, you're both wrong. We're going to follow hyperspace. And everyone's like, what is hyperspace? So hyperspace is, from what he described and what I can kind of...
Wait, aren't there also hyperspace trials?
Yeah, sure are, and hyperspace cups, and just, we want to make things confusing.
Are they we'll get to that. Okay, all right. So I was going to say, I hope they're the same format.
As far as I am aware, and there has been some split, or there's been some contention on this, because a lot of people were very sleepy when they heard these announcements, and it is confusing. But as far as I'm aware, all of the high-level organized play games going forward starting in January will follow this hyperspace list-building thing.
Okay.
Basically, it equates to they will release a set of ships and a set of upgrades that are legal to play. They didn't say, like, I assume all pilots within a ship, but I don't know. I don't know if we should assume anything, right? Like, this is all, they could change everything, right?
Right.
But it's basically, out of the extended series, there will be a subset of ships that is not the just 2.0 subset. It will be different.
Okay.
And that is what is going to be legal for organized play events at System Opens, at Hyperspace Cups, at Hyperspace Trials, which are effectively, like for old naming conventions, regionals, nationals, System Opens, and the Hyperspace qualifiers at the System Opens.
Oh boy.
So like those 4 things are all going to be this Hyperspace format.
Did they talk at all about how often that's going to rotate? Then?
Yes. So this is going to rotate on the same timeline that is the way they're going to do bulk point adjustments.
Okay.
So it is going to start in January, and it is every 6 months they're going to do a bulk point overview or overhaul. Now, they did specifically say that if they like miss something or something's messed up, that they can do like hot fixes to points, that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And in theory, points also means upgrade slots, right? Like, because they talked about, like, he didn't specifically say that, but like you can just kind of read that as well or infer that. So it's every 6 months is when this is going to happen. And those are going to be our kind of like seasons, basically. So it'll be the season with these ships. A couple of notes, because like they had questions from the crowd, and the seven of us that were awake asked questions. So one of the questions was, as we have these new factions coming in, Resistance, First Order, Sis, and Jedi, whatever. So we're going to have seven factions. The other four, like the primary three factions, are going to have a lot more ships to choose from, right? So you're going to have four factions that have a very small subset of ships they can pick, and then three factions that are going to have a lot of ships. So one of the normal lines of thinking would be, hey, if the prequel factions only have 4 to 5 ships each, is the hyperspace for January only going to have 4 to 5 ships for each faction as well? And they specifically said no, they're not going to over-restrict the core three that way. It's going to be more of an organic feel to it. So it's not to say that it would never happen. It's just that it's not required to be that way. So it is possible that you have, you know, 9 ships in Empire, 7 ships in Rebels, 8 ships in Scum, 5 ships for Resistance, 4 ships for First Order, something like that.
Right on. So if they have a lesser ship count, it's more likely that they're going to keep all their ships.
Yes, that's, I assume, 100%, right? Like, you'll see First Order come out, and it's like, we got 4 ships, yo. Like, do we get to have our 4 ships, or are you taking one of them from us? But this also includes upgrades.
Take the T-70 away from the Resistance.
Yeah, right? Yeah, like, you just get A-Wings. Have fun. I guess in BSFs. Sure, whatever. So, that is a... They also did say that there would be, like, I forget how he specifically described it, but it's basically there will be a bias to new waves that are coming out. Mm-hmm. So as new ships are released, those are going to be the ships that are going to be in like the new hyperspace more than likely. Mm-hmm. Right. Which makes sense from a business standpoint, right? I'm going to sell new stuff. That's the stuff that gets to be in organized play. Like me looking from an outside perspective, I go, okay, if I have to make a guess for what the hyperspace is going to be, it's going to be the core set ships. It's going to be whatever the latest wave is. And then it'll be one or two other ships.
Interesting. I don't know. I got to go back and forth on that because I don't want to go like years without using some of these ships that I have for that kind of,
yeah,
kind of
turn. 100%. 100%. Now the other side is there still will be the, cinematic formats, right? Mm-hmm. So like there'll be the Battle of Yavin format that we might have like a local tournament, like for all the old school X-Wing players out there. Like we had the Emdar Alpha event, we had the Kessel Run events, things like that. We can still have those, and they've talked about doing similar stuff to that again, where you will have very unique list building restrictions, such as only ships and pilots that were at the Battle of Yavin. That's what you get to pick
from. That kind of tournament, I swear to God, does sound fun for me.
Yeah, and so I don't... Those don't sound like they will be like, they'll be tournaments, but they're not tournaments. They're going to be like a tournament kit that your store will be able to purchase.
Yeah, but some of the some of the best stuff was that Emdar Alpha, like build your list at the end kind of thing.
Yep. That stuff was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's pretty much the organized play news that we got. Blair, can you think of anything I missed?
No,
you also weren't paying attention.
I wasn't really paying. I was trying to get my list in order. I had to have Tyler give me a rundown like a couple hours later. So.
He was missing some crack shots. So, and for once in my life, I wasn't the crack dealer in the room to just be able to help out brother.
You only get 2 crack shots in the core set, and like literally no one had any. So,
yeah.
Kalen's like, well, there's some in the Reaper. I go, are you positive? He goes, yeah. All right, so I run to the counter, buy a Reaper, come back. All while they're like announcing, I'm like just running around like a moron while everyone just sitting listening to this. And I open it up. There's no crack shots in it.
No way. That's so rude.
Bless his soul. There was a FFG employee there. I forget his name. Apologies, but he gave me. He just happened to have 2, so I gave him some stickers and some salt tokens. Just a thank you. Other shout out to FFG employees. So my first time using the app, first and last time, was to submit my list for this event. So, of course, I forgot to put Pivot Wing title on my Ewing. So we get there, and I'm stressing out about it like all Friday, because somehow it like came to me. I was like, I can't remember if I put Pivot Wing on it. Holy! So I'm stressing out about it the whole time. We get there, check in. Can I see my list? Yeah, it's not on there. I'm like, oh my god, can I change? No, it's too late to change anything. Caitlin's standing right behind me. He's like, well, it's just the Pivot Wing title. It's free. And the guy's like, oh, it's that? All right, sure, you can have it. Can you imagine having to go through that tournament without being able to turn around? Oh, my God, it would have been brutal.
That really should be, like, on the card. Like, they've got to come up with something different. Ugh. I guess that's so you can flip it, right? When I think about it.
I mean, it's so much text that they just couldn't put it all in on the card.
The simplest thing to do would be just automatically add it when you add the ship. Like, when you add the ship in the app? Yeah. Add the ship on the app, it automatically adds Pivot Wing.
Let's not talk about simple things that can be done with the app, Sable.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We already have so many simple things that don't necessarily work quite right on the app, so we're waiting.
I work for a software company, and this place likes to release like my company does, and... you know, it's like you release the minimally viable product, and you just make iterative changes more and more better over time. Now, their progression charts may be a little bit slower than normal, though. You know, like you would expect, like their font to work. So we've talked about Coruscant enough. Actually, do we want to talk about the winning list or not?
Well, I wouldn't say the winning list, but I will say I do want to throw a shout out to like there was probably mid-20s a group of guys that came over from Europe, like Poland, all over Europe. Super cool group of guys. Got to hang out with them for a couple of days. They were a lot of fun. They were the most of the top. I think it was the top four and five of the top eight were all from Europe. And they were giving all of us U.S. boys a bunch of crap about that. I will like to point out that there was a huge portion of U.S.-based players, myself included, that did things like take a list they've never won a game with before to Coruscant, and these European boys came over and were try-harding the shit out of this thing. So we're like, guys, it's a meme format, and they're like, we don't know what you mean, we're only here to win. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, welcome to my Punishers with proton bombs, every turn, go. Like, but, okay, alright, my mistake. I'm sorry, sir.
All right. So speaking of Punishers, and we've heard a lot about various like good imperialists, let's actually talk about the Empire. We've been putting it off for now months, I guess. I mean, what do you do? And we're going to go over some of the highlights of the best ships in the Imperial faction and some of the best cards, the ones that we like. And we have to cover a lot because, as Tyler likes to say, Empire's much better than the other factions, and so there's certainly
just the good guys. They're not necessarily better,
right? So
most all of my successes when they were been terrible.
So let's talk about some of the building blocks of the Empire that are good and that you should absolutely know about. Tyler, let's see. I've heard enough from you. Actually, we'll cover Vader in a second. So let's talk about the TIE Swarm, which I feel like is one of the most quintessential Imperial lists and sort of what I think embodies what the Empire should be, which is a bunch of nameless minions that you can murder as much as you want. The TIE Swarm has been in X-Wing for a long time. I think the TIE Swarm is... in some regards, back. Sable, I know that you've been a big TIE Swarm player. You know, you had Last Winter's Night that you flew. You flew TIE Swarms before that. I know you had TIEs in lists with the Buzzsaw Shuttle way back in the day.
Scarlet Cowgirl. It was Kath Scarlet, the Buzzsaw Shuttle, and two TIE Fighters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, way back in the day. So... Yeah, because we're all like, because we're all retired Swarm players. Anyways.
Yeah, a list that is no longer legal.
Right? So what do you, yeah, because RIP Imperial Fire Sprays, especially now. Oh man, that was another one that we forgot. Dang. So tell me about, like, how do you think the TIE Swarms are in second edition? They're obviously strong, but what makes them especially strong in second edition?
So, Howl Runner is useful in second edition.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've always been in the minority by saying that 1.0 Howl Runner is worthless because she just dies and then your most expensive TIE fighter is gone and she did nothing. Like 90% of the games, that's how it goes. So mm-hmm. I always never used her because I can use those points elsewhere, which meant they shot Wampa, my cheapest chip. I'll take that. Anyway, the thing that changes the calculus now is Iden Versio.
I think Iden's amazing, right?
Which, you know, basically just cancels one attack against a TIE fighter in a game.
Mm-hmm.
It means that Howl Runner probably survives the first round of shooting, mm-hmm. no matter what you're up against.
Spoiler, it's not a probably.
Yeah, the other thing about that, Sable, is the fact that the simultaneous fire rules also mm-hmm. go a long way to making...
They do, absolutely.
To making Howl Runner worthwhile, even if, say, she dies, right?
Yes.
If so long as she dies in the initiative round where most of your shots are, mm-hmm. you're generally fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So TIE Swarms are alive and well, again. They are not the list that will destroy everything that certain individuals on this podcast were predicting before 2.0 mm-hmm. came out. Mm-hmm. But they are strong, especially in the hands of a capable player. The two dice are matter again. Two dice are not dead on arrival. Howl mm-hmm. Runner adds to that. I personally prefer the 7 TIE Swarm over the 6.
Man, I was about to say that I like the 6. So what is your 7 that you like to run?
Well, it's Iden, Howl Runner, and 5 Academies.
Right.
You've got 5 points to play with, so have fun.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it just means that there's an extra shot. Yeah, a bunch of the other ties, the named ties, give you an extra die or mm-hmm. cool things.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this time, because so many people are rusty against swarms or have never played against swarms, the 7 makes a little bit more sense, just because you've got a little bit more to play with.
Now, I've been running the same one that Tyler was talking about with the 6 TIE Swarm.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely hit really hard. That's what, Tyler, you pick up Gideon, Del, and Wampa, right?
And you got Swarm Tactics for 2 of them, so you shoot up 4 across the board.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that one, and I think I've won, you know, one of the 2 games I've played with it. So that's not exactly a large sample size, but yeah, like...
100% win rate. Go.
Yeah, exactly. I'll never lose. It's like my boy Patrick Mahomes. He's never going to lose, right? Anyways,
come talk to me in what January?
When Mariota throws a touchdown to himself.
To himself. Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, so I definitely liked having Del specifically and Gideon. I thought that they went really, really well together with the swarm tactics. But I've traditionally been like a stuff as many ships into a list as possible. That way, if you lose one, you still have more.
So I'm not, maybe it's just my local meta, but I'm mm-hmm. not sold on the PS4 6 ship swarm because Howl Runner probably survives the first round, but mm-hmm. she doesn't survive the second. And if your opponent is playing higher pilot skills, that means she does nothing in second round anyway.
Right.
I mean, who's bringing like mass PS6?
Oh, it just takes one good shot because you're probably getting a damage or two on her the first round. She's not dying, but she's going to take something. It only takes one good shot to take her down.
So Tyler, how much actual Six Tie Swarm have you gotten a chance to play?
I played like one or two games of it. I played way more of the Seven Tie Swarm before we had all the named ones out.
Yeah.
So let's move on to another good Imperial ship that we probably ought to talk about. Sort of like an archetype that you might see, which is something I saw a couple of times on stream at Coruscant that in retrospect, I probably should have thought was good because long range scanners was good, was a Jinden bomber swarm, which is generally Jinden and a bunch of TIE bombers with, your choice of ordnance, probably with torpedoes, right?
It wasn't ordnance. It wasn't your choice. They were proton torps because let's take the best possible ordnance we can. Mm-hmm.
Generally builds off of the Jinden's ability to say target lock your choice. You target lock someone and then you unleash hell on them, so long as you can set up your firing lanes properly. Blair, this sort of seems like a list that at least you would understand well. Like, why is that strong?
So I actually played this guy. Mm-hmm. It was Lucas from Poland. I think he actually won the system open there this mm-hmm. year. He won or got second. It was not close. that was my one loss to Swiss, and he absolutely murdered me. It wasn't close. Four dice with it actually wasn't all protons though, Tyler. It was clusters on Reimer. So
no, he brought Reimer. Sure. So that's a fun way to adjustment.
He brought Reimer instead of Jonas and had clusters.
You don't need Jonas. You have Jinden.
I mean, sure.
So yeah, it's four guys with fully modded missiles. The Alpha is just absolutely devastating, and then you still have the shuttle that gets to fire as well. And he gets all the free here at Coruscant. At least he had all the free Ruthless off for free as well. So he's just like ruthlessing the shuttle over and over again.
Were they scimitars or were they the bigger?
It was one scimitar, two gammas, and Reimer.
That's the 4 points.
I have flown the shuttle like. And we'll talk about that, the list that we fly in, but I flew the shuttle like the most probably of any of the ships, and God bless, man. That thing is so much Sable. The shuttle is so much better now. Like, I cannot even believe it. Coordinates good. ST-321 is good. Having a butt cannon is good. It's amazing.
Shockingly reinforces really good.
Yes, reinforces good. Just have like all this extra stuff that I didn't have before, and it was already like okay, right? It was already good.
I was really sad that 1.0 didn't have a title.
So this title's actually good though, right? Like ST-321 is legitimately good. In a world where getting double mods is difficult in second edition, it is incredibly cheap to get it. Anyway, that bomber swarm is something that we saw a lot in Coruscant. It hits absolutely devastatingly hard. And there's a lot of fun ways that you can sort of optimize bombers in general. Bombers, to be sure, are something that people are talking about a lot in the sense that they're a really good ordnance carrier, and ordnance is better, right?
Mm-hmm. Proton torpedoes are better.
So you think?
As I would say.
So you don't think it's the bomber? Because I mean, Will, I mean, you were talking about this in regards to the gunboat that is not on this list, which I'm super sad about. It'll be on our winner contest, but it's certainly not one of the best ships in the Empire. But you're saying that just point for point. No, you were talking about the aggressors and that the aggressors are just garbage because point for point, the bombers just absolutely blows it out of the water, right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually extremely confused when you look at the stat line, the dial of the aggressor compared to, the scimitar, the two init two pilots.
Well, that's not different from 1.0, Will.
I guess fair, but
the bomber was The bomber came 8 waves before the aggressor, and it was still better. You know, but you never saw bombers though, and you saw quite a bit of aggressors.
You saw Why? TLT aggressors.
Oh, TLT. And I hate to say it, Ricky, but I did kind of point that out when it was released. So thank you for that. Sorry, continue, Will.
Blair's like literally on his desk has got like a knife out where he etches every time he was right and just stares at it like with some sort of like obnoxious like pride.
He's yeah.
Like, hell yeah. Another
he's up
one.
To two now.
He has like 2 notches.
Oh, man.
I was just going to say, like, if you look at the cost compared of the, you know, the basically the chassis of the aggressor versus the bomber, mm-hmm. it's kind of laughable how much better the bomber is, and yet it's cheaper. And it's just like, seriously, guys, what were you smoking when you priced these two ships?
Well, so we don't have good turrets right now. Like, if turret options become available that might matter, then they could be okay.
Yeah, that sounds really scary.
And that's the other thing. Like,
I was going to say, like, I've seen that movie.
No. Uh-oh. Oh, Ricky, you're saying, like, torps are too good.
That's what Tyler's saying. I don't... I definitely think they are useful. I don't know if I'm going to say they're too good yet.
Oh.
I mean, well, here's the thing. Like, you see it on Luke, and then you see it on, like, these bomber swarms. So I guess it's the ordnance of choice.
Well, it is. It's the only one that is very scary. Like, barrage mm-hmm. rockets are good because they're efficient, mm-hmm. but it's also, like, 2 and 3 barrage rockets getting shot at you are good. Like, I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not scared of 1 barrage rocket ever, right? Like, okay,
yeah,
it's a pretty nice
barrage
tank,
rockets
cool,
are just, like, a primary weapon replacement.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Protons are one-tapping everything. Like, that's just because you have it on Luke, you have it on Wedge ish. The big, like, my big problem with them is coordinate became really easy to get into a list for cheap now, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's everywhere. You've got the stupid little escape shuttles, you've got the stupid Cethapedes. It's like, oh, I can have like a 20-point coordinate buddy or whatnot. And
okay,
so now you're
Empire, man. They're also on the Lambda and on the Reaper.
I pay 70 points for that Lambda. I don't pay 24.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be like if my TIE Fighter could coordinate.
Hold up, all right, so let's talk about this. Like, you're paying 70 points because you're getting triple action efficiency out of that Lambda.
Sure, but, what's the cheapest Lambda? Like, if I just wanted a Lambda, it's 43 points.
Yeah,
if I want
an incredible 43 points.
It's, well, sure, but that's not, yes, the ship outside of that is still good. What I'm saying is, like, I can get an escape craft for 12, okay?
Okay, I mean, to be right? fair, you can't have the splody, you can have the splody droid of doom if you want it.
And if I want it for more than 3
so much.
Yeah. If I wanted it for more than 3 turns, it's 22 points. It's literally cheaper than the cheapest ship I have in Empire, and it comes with coordinate stock.
Yeah, all right. All right. So I definitely buy that. Okay. All right.
So when you take we don't have a large number of heavy hitting Fordyce attacks anymore, right?
However, is the Empire going to survive?
I mean,
we haven't even dented the list of good Empire ships yet. We've gone through like 3.
I'm saying it's proton torpedoes. Like, Empire abuses it too. I'm not mm-hmm. saying we're not guilty as well. Mm-hmm. We have a specific ship chassis that seems to like to really use proton torpedoes real well.
I want to quote that for Empire. Like, we're not saying that we're not guilty as well. Tyler Tippett, Empire supporter. Like, oh, no shit. Of course, like, the Empire's guilty.
We've done some out of context quote. We were justified for all of those things that we did, but we did some shady stuff.
What is it? The subreddit Empire was right.
Empire did nothing wrong.
Yeah, Empire did nothing wrong. Right. God, I should know that. Ugh, I got the internet better. Anyways, so let's move on from, like, because we can deep dive shuttles maybe too long. I haven't even talked about Kagi actually maybe being good.
Yeah, man, if proton torpedoes become the meta, Kagi becomes real good.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about something that we definitely know is a ship that you're going to see a lot of just due to the fact that it's tough and hits hard. And now suddenly gets advanced sensors, for the love of God. Advanced sensors, defenders. Obviously very, very expensive, but there's something that you're definitely going to see because they hit hard and they're efficient. So what is it about? I think, what is it? Particularly, you see a lot of Rexler, right? Is the one that
you see? Nah, you see all of them. It's Vessery, Rexler, and Riot, all three.
So what is about these defenders that is so strong? Why is that one of these building blocks, other than it's just good? I mean, what is it about that makes it so effective?
Well, I mean, it's one of the few platforms that you can legitimate, you know, token stack, you know, for focus evade for one. It's not
the full throttle's built in, so whenever you do a 3 to a 5, you get an evade.
Yeah, so that makes them very kind of tanky, plus they have 3 agility still, right? Mm-hmm. But they also gained an extra shield from 1.0, so they're 4 shield, 3 hull. So that, you know, token stacked in a 2.0 world where, you know, those heavy attacks, other than those proton torpedoes we're talking about, are fewer, mm-hmm. you know, than what you see. You know, Fen throws the 5 dice still, but that's still pretty, you know, big. It makes them extremely tanky, difficult to kind of punch damage through. And not only that, but even without advanced sensors, you know, you've got the 4K turn that's white, you know, it makes them extremely squirrely. You know, you cannot track them turn after turn if you don't board control very, very well, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't set up opportunities to block the 4K, you're going to get outmaneuvered. Well, when you put advanced sensors on there, now, oh, if you are setting up the blocks for the 4K, now you can
set up 3. You have to almost set up 3.
7. I mean, seven. It's 7 because they have boost now on their action bar.
Oh my
God. Yeah. So that advanced sensors, anyone who is like looking at it and being like, oh, well, it doesn't give me my full throttle evade, learn how to play the game better, man. Like, it doesn't matter if you have an evade or not, if you don't get shot by anything. You know, so
nobody turns off my juke combo card. Ah!
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you just get it next turn.
Exactly.
It's fine.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, it's an incredibly powerful combo and incredibly expensive, like you said, but it's worth the points. You know, it's one of those things where it's going to be a building block in a list. I don't really know if you're going to see like the double super defenders be like a meta staple, but I think you're going to see one of those three pilots plus X, Y, and Z, you know, as a pretty good list that you'll see pretty regularly.
Yeah. If you've got a advanced sensor Rexler, that's half your list, but still that's like a hammer in your list effectively. Right.
And it's the nice thing is it's not quite half your list. It's in the low 90s. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's like the perfect amount of points to throw in all of these like really good 50 something point aces. You know, like Duchess, Whisper, Fell, all those guys.
I'm just mad that I have like 7 tie defenders and I can't use more than 2 of them.
You are not wrong, sir.
So let's talk about some of those aces. Certainly, I think this is out of my own heart, but wait a second. What did I just say? Who am I?
Aces are in your heart?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I need to, like, go see somebody. I just... Oh, man. Guys, I'm...
You have become what you hate.
I am about to have a meltdown, because...
Yeah, you've been flying Whisper, too. Whisper, too.
Oh, dude. Because I'm going to... Soontier, right? I've been freaking flying Soontier. And he is really good at just naked and running him cheap at Initiative 6. And like absolutely a rock solid ship that you're paying nothing for. Nothing. Yeah. It's amazing. Like that's certainly the one that I like the most as to at least like threaten Luke and
stuff. Also for everybody out there that is currently listening that is a casual X-Wing player, if you have been filling the mod slots on Soontier, please stop. You're making him too expensive.
Yes.
Like, toss an EPT on there, Predator, Juke, or Crackshot. Mm-hmm. Maybe Ruthless if you have some beef in the list. Mm-hmm. Don't put Outmaneuver on there. just stop it.
Yeah. I have, God, I don't want to toss my buddy under the bus. I'm going to leave him nameless other than to say he's my conciliary. But he keeps trying to make outmaneuver happen. Stop making the trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
It's not just your local group, not in second edition.
Maybe in third when it's actually Juke.
You know, I actually had some really good success with outmaneuver on Guri. So
well,
that's one of the few that you could maybe argue it for because you have points to burn.
Right.
Yes, that's the thing, is because you just don't have points to put them elsewhere. Even then, I probably still want crack shot. Right. My issue with outmaneuver is there's so many ships that are currently popular that it doesn't help you with it all, right? Like, if you're shooting a Lambda. If you're shooting a Lambda, like, oh, you went to zero. Okay. So you took a third of a hit point away. Every three times I shoot you, that was your evade that you would have gotten. Same like a Decimator, just like, doesn't matter. There are times when it's useful, obviously. Like, outmaneuver Wedge is the unironic good ship against Boba Fett with all the rerolls and agility, but you don't get through any of the other ships you're playing in Swiss to actually fight that guy because you're running outmaneuver Wedge, right?
And in that situation, unless the Boba player is pretty awful, or I guess maybe he's focusing on your supernatural Luke, which is probably the right call. Okay, you're rolling naked dice because you're probably like bear rolling or boosting to get out of arc, and then you're just rolling naked dice.
So one thing I do like about about Soontir is you can throw him in just about any Imperial list, and he works for you. Like he's gonna fill his points out.
He's that quintessential flanker, right? Like he doesn't need any support. Like he's not that end game monster threat like he used to be, simply because he is cheap. So he will run into situations where he can't like outpoint stuff well enough. But man, he's real good, especially with all these I-5 aces like Guri, like an outmaneuver Guri, right? Like I can just set
put out maneuver on him. More points.
No, you put. I will stand by. A bid is worth more on him.
You're the one saying not to run shield, so you don't run bids, right?
But the bid's worth more than the shield. Oh yeah, the bid's still full points.
You're absolutely right. I'm 100% with you. I am 100% with that.
I just want to echo the same thing. The amount of people that I've seen, you know, locally and as well as seen in lists, you know, that have posted things online and stuff, that they're basically still, you know, in love with Super Soontir, right? Where you could throw a stealth device and hull and shield and, you know, various mods, and he's got the token stacking all the time.
He's also got the auto double thrusters. Mod slots, so he's begging you to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's not that world anymore.
Right.
The fact that Soontir is 26 points in 1.0 pricing now, and he effectively still has PTL built in for his double reposition, is a godsend. Do not turn that into a negative by dumping more points and wasting opportunities to build the rest of your list stronger. That's the problem.
Right.
I put, you know, a 5-tie swarm next to Soontir, and the 5-tie swarm can now fit Howlrunner and, you know, Wampa in there, right? Mm-hmm. And Soontir can then still fly off on his own. And Tyler, to your point, he's not the point fortress monster that he can, you know, can be in 1.0.
But he can hunt those guys, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he is an endgame monster because he can play cleanup. Like, whatever the rest of your list is, it does as much as it possibly can. And if Soontir's left with two ships, just like in 1.0, Soontir wins 90% of the time, depending on what those two ships are, right? So it's one of those things.
Yeah,
if he's got time to do it, yeah, he's perfect. So that's the way you really should be kind of looking to build Soontir. Do not dump that many points into him, because while he does have one weird benefit in 2.0 that he didn't have in 1.0, when you bump, unless you're really getting outplayed, you get a token because you'll have somebody in your bullseye arc and you'll get a focus. So he's a little bit less susceptible to bumping, but you should still fly him like touching and bumping is, you know, your death nail, right? But it's just one of those things that I cringe. Like, all the local guys in Bloomington are doing it, where they've got, you know, Stealth and Hull, or Hull and Shield, and you know, Juke, and all these other EPTs.
I
and
absolutely Juke's really good.
Juke's like the right answer.
Yeah, Juke is okay, but not in addition to Hull and Shield, and no, you know, like. Juke. Ah, man, just like, I get it. Soontar's fun. Soontar's good. You don't want to just see him die instantly. The answer to not having Soontar die instantly is fly better, to quote the Minox, you know?
All right, so let's move on to somebody that I think that does bear some points fortressing when it comes to a single ship, which is, we're going to get into the big bad boy in a minute, but let's talk about Whisper for a second, because Whisper, I think, showed out really well at the course of tournament, mostly because I think Whisper's really good.
Yeah.
And that is a ship that you do put a lot of points on. So
you can.
You can. Like, she's, you don't have to.
Like, you don't. And she's worth, like, yeah. Nah, it's like, just a 52 point Whisper is still really good. Like, mm-hmm. you don't need any points on her at all. Now, she gets way better if you don't points into her. Like, you can run like an 80-ish point Whisper that's really scary. But if you need that pocket ace, she still fits in there real well.
Mm-hmm. Another really good Juke, just like cool. the Defender does. Another really good Juke candidate because of the new Stygium Array ability, where when you decloak, you get an evade, and then you keep, if you have the evade at the end, you can cloak again, so it's part of your decloak mechanic anyways. So that's certainly another really good Juke opportunity. And then...
Yeah, the VVTV or the PTL guys from up in Canada that were casting with Dion mm-hmm. all the whole time it's cloak and choke is the mm-hmm. new term for Whisper. So you've got Darth Vader and Juke on there. So
right. you decloak Vader crew obviously plays really well because you can pull the green token off, right?
Yep.
Or start force choking. I mean, win-win.
Yes. I almost killed a Boba Fett by blocking him for four turns and Vadering him every single turn. It's glorious.
That is really funny.
I do want to just chime in. The guys that are starting to make the double-sided cloak tokens with evade on one side and cloak on the other, that's really, really slick. I like that for 2.0.
So one thing I do want to talk about, and it's a card that I personally think is very strong... But I think is, frankly, I think it's honestly bad for the game, is Collision Detector. Like, I didn't really pay attention to what that thing did, or my mind didn't click on what it did for certainly Phantoms until I played it and just started decloaking through rocks, because... decloaks count as boosts and barrel rolls now, so right. It works with Collision
Detector. That's why it doesn't click. Like, wasn't just you.
It was a decloak action, right? Because, know what it is. It's because I, like every other arrogant 1.0 player, didn't actually read the 2.0 rules. Like, I know it. I know how to play X-Wing. I'm smart.
And then your opponent goes, I do this. And you go, what?
Yeah. Like, how'd you do that? I mean, I believe you. That's the thing right now, is if you play me in second edition, I will believe you if you tell me what your cards do, so you can cheat against me, and it will work for a time.
You want to know what's even better? I'll also believe you when you pull a crit card for me that's in Polish, and then you tell me what it is. Like, yeah, that's probably what it is.
Sounds good.
This crit gives me three more shields.
Well, no, it's just like, they just never said Panic Pilot, so I assumed no one ever got double stress.
So the Collision Detector, though, lets you decloak through asteroids, and then with charges you can land on them and still fire, still get your defense bonuses and everything, take actions. It is outrageous for a ship that can move like a TIE Phantom. Yeah. Also, TIE Phantoms are considerably cheaper than they used to be, right? Because they quote-unquote lost the four attack dice, which, like, that's a problem so long as it continues to live for forever.
No, stop it. It is a problem. Pour one out for Whisper, bro.
We're dealing.
Yeah, pour exactly 25% out.
So, yeah, that that is an outrageously strong ship, and I think it's one that particularly is good at hunting down the other initiative fives and sort of knife fighting it, right? With like a Luke or Boba Fett's I-5, right?
Yep.
I should know this. It is I-5. Sorry. Watch a baby. I don't have brains anymore. Anyway, so that's a really nice ship to hunt those down and kind of fight that.
And I just want to give a shout out to the devs for finally, I think, finding the cloaking mechanic that really clicks and really gives the Phantom that feel like I think they were going for in the initial concept.
I agree with you, but to roll back that collision detector point, I don't think it is a good idea to add effects like this that make it more, to make it easier to not have to play within the lanes of the game.
We're giving a Phantom dash basic abilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just get to ignore stuff for a turn.
Being dashed two times and then being kind of dash forever is very, very bad for a TIE Phantom. And I'm sure there'll be other instances where this will be a problem. Like, for example, like when Kylo comes out, if he has that, that's a problem. Well, I guess he'll have a tech slot, though. He wouldn't have sensors.
He has both.
Mm. Oh, well, that's outrageous. That's outrageous.
Well,
but
at least 1.0 Kylo had both.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, who knows what he'll have.
Mm, but still, that sounds very, very terrifying. So I don't necessarily like that card. I think it's bad for the game.
No, you really like the card. You think it's bad for the game, though.
Yes, okay. You're exactly right. I really like the card. Think it's terrible for the game. So I'm going to move on to something that's, to me, kind of fun. Is Punishers are freaking everywhere, right? Am I wrong there?
See, why would you say fun? Like,
okay, I think that them seeing them on the table makes me happy because I almost never saw it. I will get over that, I imagine.
I get
over it real quick.
I like regular Punishers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with Proton Torps and Trajectory Simulator, like, Redline feels exactly like 1.0 NIMH did.
Right, so describe why that is.
The argument I keep hearing is, no, all the bombs are launched in the system phase now, mm-hmm. so you know where the bomb is. You knew where the bomb was before, too. Like, mm-hmm. don't lie to yourself and just think that you couldn't do the distance measurement, or he just wouldn't throw the bomb forward, right? Like, the bombs are always right out there now. It's in the same spot. He gets to move. He gets to double action. So he's taking a target lock after whatever action he chooses. So he's either double modding his torp shot, or he's boosting to catch you and then target locking you to shoot his torp again, right? Like, he has plating, so he doesn't care about his own bombs hitting him. And he reloads, so there's infinite number of bombs.
Right.
And torps.
And torps.
And so Redline effectively gets three actions without having to pay for it. In the sense that you get two target locks and whatever action you took.
Right? No, I don't think he gets two locks anymore. He gets a lock after he does any action.
Right, okay. So it's still two, but you can maintain two.
But I would argue that trajectory simulating a proton bomb, that's effectively an action.
Yeah, it's much better, right?
Yeah, because that's threatening guaranteed crit damage, you know? So,
I always expected you to be a Punisher player. Like, what's your thought on the new Punishers?
I mean, I really haven't dealt with them much. I'm not a huge fan of the Redline trajectory simulator proton bomb stuff. And that's not, I always tended to be a bomb player for things you didn't think about. I mean,
right.
Back in wave 3, when I'm running the TIE bombers that nobody's ever played with or against, when I invented Galaxy Note 7, nobody really was experimenting with bombing on K-Wings. It was all the, oh, well, TLT, tactician is dead forever, K-Wings are useless, and I'm going, guys, look at this thing. Mm-hmm. And I should have, because I ruined the game again. So I really haven't dabbled with the Punishers yet. I've been eyeing some of the other bomb platforms. Ironically, Fett as a bomb platform, but that's...
Like, it needs any help. How dare you?
Right. Well, it's also for nostalgia's sake, because I want a regional with a proton bomb on Fett.
So, Redline's obviously really, really good. Death Rain, I think, is like the cheap version if you can't run Redline.
Or you want to run two.
Yeah, it's only 2 points difference. And the weird thing is you can still get your fully like double modded torp shots off with Death Rain, and the bomb dropping actually is goofier because you throw your trajectory simulator proton bomb out there, it gets you an action because that's what Death Rain's ability is. Yeah. And so you target lock off that, or you focus off that, and then you can stall. You don't have to worry about going up into the bomb area, sit back and launch your torpedo then. And then if you coordinate with another ship or, you know, whatever, or if you already had your target lock from the previous turn, didn't have to spend it, now you've got your target lock focus for your second torpedo shot kind of thing. So it's just both of those ships, they support each other really well if you're flying two of them. And it's just kind of one of those things where it just feels oppressive. You know, you've got double proton bombs getting launched out there. It's a massive area that they're carpet bombing. And they've got proton torpedoes, which are probably the scariest attack in the game other than a range one, you know, Fen, right? So it just seems like, you know, a little bit of some oppressive comboing going on that doesn't allow your opponent to really play the game in the right way.
Assuming they didn't bring shields. If they brought shields, then you just die. Which is, that's the thing I don't like about it either. Is it like it hyper punishes anybody that doesn't bring shields? Which, for whatever, like, whether you want that to be good or not. And then, like, if you just bring Boba Fett, you just laugh. Like, aha, I'll just boost into range one. Ah, oh, your proton bombs hit my shields. I don't care.
Right. And I think these guys... ironically, you know, it's Empire on Empire action, but these guys are probably are the scariest thing for the traditional TIE Swarm. You know, if you've got two of these guys chucking double proton bombs out there, your Swarm really can't play the game.
Oh, so, yeah, my Strikers, like when I played against double, it was two Punishers and Vermile, and I was just like, okay, I can't actually play. Cool.
I think that's kind of what happened is, from the outset, that really seemed like the card that really was generating the buzz of everyone. Like, wow, really? That's, you're really bringing that one back?
Yeah.
And I think the devs were thinking, okay, no Nim, or let's see, is Nim's got to be back in the game as a Skurg, right? But they don't have him, no Rebel Nim, and he's different.
Well, yeah, Scum Nim is
it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, it's a combination of the two, but he's a different ship. There's no torps on him anymore, so it's just the bombs. So he's much less scary as that ultra, you know, massive damage dealing thing.
They don't have TLT either, right? Like,
exactly. So he's just got primary weapons. That's far less scary, and there's only going to be maximum one of them, you know, in the list, right? Like, maybe you can do a Nim Emin combo, but even that doesn't seem super scary.
Yeah, right? Maybe they were just thinking, like, system phase should clean it up. I don't know, but the thing is like, in 1.0, like, trajectory really wasn't that, it wasn't as problematic really as it could have been, because most of jousting lists were pushed out by the point that he dropped. It was mostly aces and turrets, and they didn't really have to worry about having bombs chucked at them because they could run away. Now jousters are back, and so we don't have like this Nim Miranda stuff that we had, but we have similar things, and they're more effective now because Kyders and aces aren't as good. So
my biggest problem with it, I think, I guess it's two things, and it's kind of like a combination of two things that kind of dovetails together. The first thing is it's a it's a mechanic that doesn't feel right. Like, you know, this is a Star Wars game. We're pushing, you know, simulated spaceships around and dogfighting. And bombs are supposed to be like the, hey, you drop them behind you or around you as a flanking or, you know, a chasing deterrent, right, for certain ships. That's kind of their role. It feels right in that role, right? Being able to just chuck them out in the middle of nowhere in front of you, like, that doesn't feel right. So that's thematically one thing that I'm just like, this doesn't feel like it should be in the game this way. The second thing is it forces certain archetypes to just not be able to even play or even really engage you at all. Like, if you don't have shields, like Tyler said, you can't really even engage that ship in that traditional manner. Like, okay, fair. You kind of have to outfly and get on the flank. But now it has the threat of dropping them both ways. Like,
one thing I will say is that you can, if you, like Tyler said, you can guess where they're going to drop it. There, you can, I don't think that this isn't perfect, but there are ways to range it to where you're just out of range of it, but you can shoot them. It's really hard to do, but I mean, I've pulled that off a couple of times versus the old trajectory simulator.
I have too, but you
it's
exactly
hard, right? And yeah, you're at range three. It's not perfect.
You use the exact right word. It's hard. It's really, really hard for that other player. Mm-hmm. And the person on the other side doesn't have to do much to threaten it, right? They just fly their ship like normal, and it's like, oh, if you're out in that range band in front of me, oh, I can just chuck a bomb out there anytime. And on the Punisher specifically, they can reload it. So it's not like they only have one use or two uses, and they still have the option of dropping it traditionally. It's like, it's just some things about the way that card is executed. If you increase its cost, even then I wouldn't really feel good that it's in the game, right? If you increase the cost, it effectively deals with it because you can't afford to like run them in an efficient way. But just the fact that you can put that on a ship and do that, it just feels wrong. Like, everything else in 2.0 for the most part feels thematic and right and how this game was initially designed to play, and yet we still got Trajectory Simulator, which just kind of breaks so many of those kind of, you know, simulated walls that you got up there.
All right, so let's jump into, like, we have to talk about it. Let's talk about Supernatural Vader. I feel like this is a subject that's been beaten to death, but Vader is still very, very good. I didn't see as how about this? I didn't, just because I was watching the stream, I didn't see a ton of Vaders on stream. How many Vaders were at the tournament? And what, like, obviously this is one of the better cards in the game. So let's talk about why it's so good. Let's see here. That's a bunch of questions.
Well, the winning list had Vader.
Yes, of course.
I know
Vader, Redline, and Whisper, right?
Soonter,
yeah.
Trying to think. I know Francois from Chicago ran Vader and Rexler, just like a two-ship list, and he was top 16, I think.
Okay.
Blair, do you remember?
He was at least top 6. I think he was actually top 8, actually.
He might have been top 8, yeah. He's a very good two-ship list. He played Nimranda for probably 18 months before that. Mm-hmm. He's a very good positional two-ship player. That's actually who I lost to at Gen Con this year, mm-hmm. in the top 64. So I know of like those two. There wasn't as much Vader, and I think the biggest reason is he hits really, really hard, but he's expensive. Mm-hmm. In this format, you had to have Ruthless somewhere in your list, so it's not like you could do the cheap Tie Swarm to support Vader kind of a thing. Like, you needed someone else with an elite pilot talent. That's why I didn't run like Rack Vader, because I don't want Ruthless on Rack, and I'm never going to Ruthless my own Vader, right? It's a wasted talent then.
Right.
So I didn't think the format really worked for him as well as it could have, just because of that side of things. But he's a very, like, if you make a mistake, he gets punished a lot harder because he doesn't have access to that boost. That's why you saw a lot of Supernatural Lukes, right? So he's still got full boost and barrel roll. So you can do one before you move and then do the other one kind of a thing. Right. Like, Vader just has barrel roll unless you're hurting yourself with that Supernatural. Or you've spent the points for afterburners and then you have to be going fast.
Yeah, absolutely. But either way, he still gets the ability to take multiple actions, to be wherever he wants at initiative 6. I mean, it is really, really strong.
Oh, yeah. It is. 100, yes. But the big difference is, unlike 1.0 Vader in situations like that where I can sit at deep range with focus and evade and Palpatine backing me up, like 2.0 Vader dies if he gets shot. Like, he dies real fast.
So you run him with Rack most of the time?
I was looking at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a FCS, Afterburners, Supernatural Vader with Rack and just good stuff crew on Rack.
I, honest to goodness, like, after going through the Imperial list, Vader is not the ship I like the most. Honestly, I think Whisper the most out of all of the Imperial ships. I think it's the strongest pound for pound.
Well, and that's the other reason you didn't see as much Vader pilot is there was a whole butt ton of Vader crews. Mm-hmm. And Vader crew is just really, really good.
Yeah, okay. So you stole my card. All right, I was going to have us talk about our favorite, like, cards that we think are absolutely good in Empire that you need to check out. And maybe this is, like, not exactly, like, maybe
that's
might not get proper love.
That's the segue.
Yeah, you're missing the segue, Captain.
Yeah, that might get proper love. I think that Vader crew has gotten proper love. I think it's arguably as good as Vader pilot. It's just very, very good. The card's 14 points now. And lets you either pull a green, lets you pull a green token from a ship in your primary arc at range 0 to 2. The 0, to your point you were talking about, Tyler, is very, very significant. It allows you to bump into something and take it and do damage to it if they say you blocked them. Very strong. Goes on a lot of ships. I think it goes especially well on Lambdas because you can do it out the rear arc, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's so, oh, yes. So I think it's a very, very good card that I try, anytime I run Imperials, I try and put it in the list just because it does useful stuff, right? And also it lets me run one of my favorite cards, Triple O, and that's just good, right? So initially I started running Vader crew for Triple O.
Just to get Triple O, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, wait. I'm an idiot. I should probably be flying Vader more. This is awesome. All right, so let's jump in. Will, what is a card that you think is good that isn't getting love that you just kind of want to promote a little bit?
Actually, we talked about Whisper, and obviously Whisper is always the poster child for, you know, Phantom pilots. I always really had a lot of fun playing Echo in 1.0, and I am having a lot of fun even more so playing Echo a little bit in 2.0. The main reason is where Echo suffered in 1.0, you could only get her up to PS8, so the advanced cloaking device was a little bit less effective, and then with so many turrets out there, it was really hard without auto thrusters on a Phantom to survive, you know, that barrage. In 2.0, with everything that has a turret has an arc that you have to rotate, Echo's ability to kind of use that curve template to decloak really allows those very cagey smart players to hide in those blind spots and really make life hell for opponents that aren't used to tracking an Echo player.
Blair just said his power went out, so good luck, Blair. Hopefully people listening to the podcast, Blair's okay. I'm kidding. But his power went out. Sorry about that, Will. Just wanted to get that out there. Yeah. So Echo was so much fun in first edition, right?
Yeah. And so to be fair, in the list I am flying Echo in is Echo and Whisper, and then Wampa into Academies. So, I've got both of the Phantoms out there causing havoc. And I think that's the trick with Echo. If Echo is your main focal point of your list, I think you're going to struggle because even with all the fancy decloaking, a smart player can track her and put some hurt on her because she's not going to get the double evade tokens that Whisper can potentially get and that type of thing. But if you have to make your opponent make a very difficult choice between, you know, letting Whisper get on the flank or Echo get on the flank, that's a little bit harder choice to make.
That reminds me of the list back in first edition, the 86 point Whisper Echo.
Yeah, well, I mean, brutal. I was running Yeah, I was running Whisper Echo and Wampa in 1.0 just for fun, even after, you know, all the shenanigans, just because it was super fun to play, you know, the decloaking, you know, combo. And so I basically resurrected that for 2.0 as my starting, you know, Phantom list, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. I think there's actually some legs to it competitively too. So we'll see how it goes, because now you're able to get three, you know, TIE fighters in there instead of just the one. And I think just if I can take 1.5 cards, essentially, I think Wampa is a pretty good, you know, buy for 30 points, you know, for that ability as a PS1 or an INT1 TIE fighter. So,
all right, so let's move on to Sable. Why don't you tell us what card you think is maybe getting underserved or is really good that we haven't talked about?
So there's this one is harder to use right now because there are very few ships that can use it. But I think it's super powerful and you really need to consider it anytime you have the opportunity, which is Death Troopers.
Oh, God, yes.
They're really cheap. They do take two crew slots, but enemy ships at range 0 to 1 don't remove stress tokens during the activation phase.
Oh boy, this is going to dovetail so well.
So, especially if you put it on something, you know, low PS, blocker type. I know all of your blue moves. You're not removing anything. Have fun.
Certainly goes well on the Reaper, and I think the Lambda can run it as well, right?
Yeah, or Oiken.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a good one. Oh, that's great. Yeah, we were at range 1. I'm shooting you. You're not getting rid of your stress. Just go
away. I'm shooting you again.
Oh, man, that's brutal. Yeah, I think that that's absolutely a strong card, especially considering that I think that stress is more dangerous now, as there's it's a lot more difficult to get around it, especially if you can't get rid of it, right?
Yeah.
I think this is going to dovetail well because, Tyler, I know you wanted to talk about this card that I think goes really, really well with Death Troopers. What card do you think that we absolutely need to be talking about with the Empire?
Yeah, I don't have a combination for the two of them yet. I haven't figured out a way to fit them together.
I do. Do you want it? I'm going to sure. I'll give it to you.
Double
Reaper and planetary two double planetary sentinels and like an academy. I think that's it.
Two Reapers, two Strikers, and an academy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sloan Death Troopers. Actually, yeah. No. I think you can do three Reapers. Or no, I know. I think you can do three Strikers. I'm gonna build this. You talk about Sloan.
Okay. Yeah. You have fun building. But no, it's the reason I ran the course. Sam came in second at the Gold Squadron Open with with Sloan on board and four Strikers. Then I talked to him a bunch about it. As soon as the Twitter poll went up for what the Empire card for Coruscant could be, I took a hard look at Sloan, and Sloan was like 1% away. Like I was campaigning for Sloan, not over Ruthless for sure.
Please give me this card. At the time you didn't know it was gonna be free though. Can you imagine?
It wouldn't have been free.
It wouldn't have been free. Yeah.
But more importantly, that would have hosed everybody else that had like 8-point free Leias. Like a lot of the Leia shenanigans that I had to deal with just don't happen because you have to give up stuff to fit 8-point Leia in there.
Tyler, for the record, it's triple striker or your choice of combos of interceptors and strikers.
Sure, yeah. So you could fit three strikers and two Reapers, one with Death Troopers, one with Sloan.
Yes.
Okay.
200 points, man.
Okay. That's gonna be awesome. But yeah, as I explained earlier in there, it's the fact that they force you into making that hard decision. And like, and I was on the, I got to see the decision making from my opponent's standpoint. One of the most fun games I played was against basically triple Empire Ace. It was Redline, Vessery, and Duchess. And the end game at time was a 1-hit point Vessery versus a full hit point Whisper. And he had killed all four of my planetary sentinels and shed the stress over the course of the game. So like he was like, okay, I have to fight these guys. Like, and his initial plan was to get them to half points. So he was half pointing them and then not killing them.
Wow, that's actually really smart. I like that.
Right. And I was just like, okay, like I'm in, like I get it. And yeah, he was a really good player, and it was just one of those. And any time, like, so when Duchess got low, he went and killed one because he was like, "Nah, I can't protect Duchess next turn." Okay, or eyes countdown, not Duchess, but still, right? Red line, I pounced on first because that was the biggest threat to Whisper. So he's just like, "Okay, I'm gonna torp this guy. Cool, one of them's down. He only has three now. Yeah, red line's dead, but like, I think Vessery can handle it." And Vessery killed two of them and shed four stress with Whisper trying her dangdest to kill him. And I didn't. It ended up being one hit point at the end, and I couldn't punch through. But I was full, so I had the points there.
So it's a really nice combo of Rebel Captive and Howlrunner, right? Like, you get rerolls.
But it's so, like, the range on it is bonkers, right? Like, that's what separates it. It's 0-3 of Whisper, and you can set up situations where
whoever's got Sloan, right? Not Whisper.
Whoever has Sloan, correct?
Tyler's projecting.
I have yet to see. Well, I can actually. So,
I've ran Sloan on Psy before.
Yeah, well, so Chris, like on the second day, like just pickup tournament that they ran for us for all of us scrubs that didn't make day two. Chris ran just a Lambda shuttle with Sloan on it that just basically reinforced every turn, and then you can fit Whisper, Soonter, and Duchess like all naked. So it was like, here's my three aces that unironically joust you. If you kill one, my other aces are going to end that ship. And now you're having to, like, can you deal with two aces? Can you deal with one ace? Do you take the time to kill my reinforcing shuttle?
Like, probably not.
Well, sure. Well, like, it's just, yeah, it's, I was like, okay, I'm in on that. There's a lot of build space. And the only, I really like the idea. The one thing I don't like the idea of is I absolutely do not want to be the one playing Sloan v. Sloan Mirrors. Like, that sounds super miserable.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty brutal. So that's absolutely a card that I think is very, really good too.
It's the double stress that really puts it over the top. Like, that's the, especially in 2.0 where stress mechanics are fewer and far between. The ability to like force a ship to have to spend a turn without actions, unless you have something cheeky like Cassian or something that can pull one and then green or blue move the one away. Right. So that's terrifying.
So, all right. So that's, I think we're basically good, with our Empire cards here. Let's move on to a ship that the contest and a ship that we really didn't talk about, which, I don't know, where's the sad trombone song? Like, sound, if I can remember that, I'll edit that in.
Spoiler. Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, spoiler, he didn't do it. The gunboat contest, like, unfortunately, I don't really see gunboats being good yet, but we did get our best attempt in, and we asked for your best gunboat list, and I had the fellas decide a winner, and the winner was Matt Erbe. Is it Erbe? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Herb. Herb.
Wow.
Solid.
Wow. Just, like, all you gotta do is go to the place and get an accent and it sounds way cool. That's okay. Matt's a buddy of mine, so we can make fun of him for that. Anyway,
Captain, just say you're doing your best farmer impression and it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So it's Colonel Jindan with ST-321 title, and then three Rogue Squadron pilots with Proton Torpedo, Advanced Slam, and OS-1 Arsenal loadout, right? So Tyler and Willa, you guys kind of picked this ahead of time. Why did you like that list over some of the other ones?
It has all the crap that I hate, right? So it has Proton Torpedoes that are double modded. Like, okay. So it just has the best ordnance, right? That's right now, cannons don't seem to be as good. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're bad. They're way weaker. Ricky, pour one out for your HLC gunboats.
Oh, man. Here's the thing. The HLC is not, I don't think, bad, but not as good.
It's bad. No, it's
and
bad.
And I don't have TLT anymore, so I'm like, what am I? My strategy's gone. I got to figure out something new.
Your Vader crew got a lot better.
Yes, it did. That's absolutely true. Although I can't run it on a bomber, I can't run it a sheep.
Sure. What? How many points was it? Old cool points.
19.
God, it was 19, wasn't it? Yeah, man, that's right? So cheap.
Yeah, that was really cheap.
I was like, put it on a Sigma. It'll be fine. Just keep it cloaked.
So, that's not a bad idea. actually. So the idea I do like about it is, and he points out, is that it does go at a higher initiative. It goes at initiative 3.
Yeah.
So it is firing, you know, before a lot of those other jousting swarms fire. And then the ability to then start slamming and firing in the same.
Those all had advanced slam too.
Yeah.
Right? Did you say that? Yeah. That's,
they all have advanced slam. That's the key. They all have the ability to slam fire every single round, and slam's nice in the sense that you're able to like arc dodge some of these other jousters that you're playing against, so you can play two games if you need to.
So the interesting thing with that being at an init 3, like we were talking about the like the Jenden bomber swarm kind of thing, where if you are bringing like for example 4 scimitars with proton torps and Jenden, which I think all fits if I remember right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it does.
Now at
it's barrage rockets, not protons, but yeah.
I think you could fit proton torps in there. But anyway, if you now have these guys moving at 3 and advanced slamming and stuff, if you've got 3 double modded torps, that's hurting. That's at least taking a bomber off the table, right? Right. So then you're getting 3, you know, depending on what you're able to do to the other one. You know, it's like now you're trading, and the gunboats do have health, right? They've got 3 shields, or
yeah, they're 7 hull, or they're 7 health hull.
So I mean, they've got a hit point on them, and they got shields to help them out. So I don't know, in that type of, you know, quote unquote mirror where you've got ordnance going, you know, haywire on both sides, I think that gives the rows a little bit of an advantage. Plus, the slamming maneuverability is really good.
I was thinking Jonas, not Jenden. So the 5 bomber has barrage. The bombers with shuttle has protons, has a couple protons.
Yeah, that's pretty darn good. All right, so we're going to send Matt something. I realized, though, that someone told me that Matt's deployed right now. And
he's currently flying.
So we're going to have to figure that out, how we're going to get him a ship, but we'll get him something.
Send him an old copy of Rebel Aces.
All right, so Mark, Sable, go ahead and pick, because I had no idea what I'm going to do for the next contest, but I need to keep this up. What should our next contest be? I have no idea. I'm going to just leave you be on this one. No way this goes horribly.
Yeah, I wish you'd given me a moment to think about it. Let's see here.
Yeah. Get as cruel as you want with the
fine.
The Holonet.
Best list, including at least 2 hawks.
The double hawk list.
Double hawk list. At least.
So that's scum. Good. That's scum or rebel.
Rebel. Yes.
I'm in. I need the hype cannon again, just because I like that. That's really fun. All right, so send us a double hawk list, either scum or rebel. We don't care. It needs to include 2 hawks at 200 points. We'll do extended format just because I find that's interesting.
You have to.
You have to. Right.
Yeah, it's the hawk.
I am real smart.
The real challenge with that is there is literally only 1 copy of Moldy Crow available. So that's what makes it the challenge.
Exactly.
All right, so that'll be our challenge. Does anybody have any shout-outs that we want to give before we tie a bow on this thing?
Crossroads is this coming weekend. So anybody that's going to be heading over there, you know, like that's the next cool event.
I had plans to like go in on like Friday night and then come back Sunday. Yep. But tale as old as time, guess who's working the Saturday?
That's rough.
Me.
You? Oh, okay. I was gonna say your wife, so you have to watch the baby.
No, you see, that would also be terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm actually literally working, like our schedule like shifted. We made a shift bid thing. It's awful. Anyway, unfortunately I'm not able to go. Good luck. Do you know what you're gonna fly?
Yeah. So I'm going back to like I'm reworking some of the stuff I did with the Gold Squadron list. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be Whisper, Soonter, and Psy again. But we're gonna throw that collision detector on Whisper.
We've been on the same one on that one. I absolutely agree with you that I think collision detector is the wrong way. I lost shield. I'm giggling on Soontier for collision detector, and suddenly it's better.
Like, I mean,
who would have, the list is better. Like, how did that happen? Anyways, so yeah, so good luck with that. I think it's going to be good.
Also, yeah, I'm excited.
We probably should have talked about Psy in the Imperial section, but Psy gives you three actions for really, really cheap.
Well, no, all the shuttles give you free actions. It's just Psy hits like a truck.
Three. When, the number three. Three actions. Three. Focus, and target lock if you focus somebody. It's good.
It's I guess that's one thing we can talk about since it was on stream, so everybody saw it too. Is did you see any of Duncan's games?
No, I missed those. Yeah,
so he was running Psy, Vermile, and Whisper.
That's I like that. That's
so
nice.
he had a tactical officer on Vermile. Sorry, so
for me, it's Vermeil because I like to think of him as Major Dick Vermeil.
sure. Okay. Okay. But so basically one of the drawbacks of Psy is when you're coordinating, you have to coordinate someone that was like kind of in the fight earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just so to get that lockdown. So what he was doing was he would have Psy move forward and like take a reinforce or some other action. And then Vermeil was moving forward and coordinating to Psy, who would then coordinate back to him to take a focus.
That's...
So that then, right. Mm-hmm. So that Psy could then trigger all of his stuff.
Yeah.
That's old school mind link.
That is so obnoxious.
It really is.
So awesome.
And it lets it lets Vermeil really get up into the grill of stuff to throw that target lock even farther.
Oh man, that's pretty good.
But they also they can both double jam that way too.
Between this and that double Reaper list that we were talking about, I don't have a Reaper yet, and I'm gonna have to go buy two.
How did you not buy two?
Okay.
Did you not burn down 1.0 with the rest of us?
How much time do I got? All right, so I'm gonna give you. I was gonna wrap this up. I'm gonna give you story time with Kelvin though. Before I end this though,
everyone loves story time with Kelvin. All
right, so I. 2 weeks ago, my wife Lee and my child go on a vacation to Grand Old Branson, Missouri. Like I think my mother-in-law has a timeshare in there. I'm not necessarily advocating for any of these decisions for other people. I wouldn't make them myself. But she went with her mom and had a good time, right? And I had a week to myself, right? So
everybody wins.
Yeah. Everything's great so far, and I get drunk and start. Building that Will and I, we'd been talking about that Drea
exploding Drea Z's.
Tux Wars. So I'm like, I need three more, not exploding Z's, exploding
Tux, yeah.
Tux, right? And I'm like, I need three more of these things. I got to run five of them. So I talked to a game store and order them. But I was drunk and I forgot about it. And so a week later, he's like, hey, you got to come pick those up. And here's the thing. The wife's in town now. And now I have to justify that expenditure. So I'm like low key now, just like saving up cash so I can get like the money necessary to go buy these things. Because I told him he ordered them for me. So I feel horrible.
Oh, for sure. Right.
Like it is on me to buy them. I have to. Because this guy's a friend of mine, right? I have to go get them. But it's also like I'm like low key dodging them until I have the cash necessary to like go buy them without anyone noticing. It's awful. I hate this. I hate the situation. # don't drink alone and make X-Wing decisions. So like, I am just like guilt everywhere. Like I've got like all of the waspy guilt contests or complex for my wife, for my buddy. This is just the worst. So that's story time with Kelvin.
But Ricky, you just bought in to Tugboat stock. It's fine.
Oh yeah. It's too late now. I'm in. Dead man switch, baby.
Just do what I do and be gay so you don't have a wife to.
Look, man, Mark, if I could and save all that money, I think that might be a decision I'd be interested in entertaining. Unfortunately, this again proves that it's not a choice because I don't have that option. I'm already stuck with them. Hopefully she's not.
I mean, I'm just
going to
throw this out there. You don't have to be gay to not have a wife. That is also an option.
It does help. Oh, man.
But this could still be a problem no matter who your life partner is, though.
Look, all I'm saying is that is, you know, like when you're like eventually like your game player, like game partners and stuff leave and you have to like get new ones. I'm trying to build mine. That's the sort of perspective I'm working on, is I'm building the gamers I need for my own RPG game. Although, no, that sounds way too many. Yeah, way too many. My own CCG game.
You're just playing Frankenstein or something?
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know, two? Like, what's a good three-player game? I don't know. Anyway, story time with Kelvin. All right, so let's wrap a bow on this thing. This went completely off tangent. All right, so for Sable Griffin, for Mark Fetcher, better known as Sable Griffin, and Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger 72, and Will Barnacle, better known as misspelled Will Barnacle. I'm your host, Richard White, Kelvin, better known as Kelvin Tiberius,
and Blair Bunky, who should hopefully have power by the time.
R.I.P. Blair. Maybe this is like the thing that keeps you listening to the next show. Did Blair survive?
we went real dark tonight. That works out two levels because he's out of power.
Thank you, Galactic Holonet, and good hunting. All right, sounds good.
Did Blair survive?
I don't know. Like, you need a hook, man. What are you supposed to do?
I'm pretty sure the crates have proven that you don't need a hook. Actually,
just play, you know, Duel of the Crates for 8 hours straight. Yeah. Close of a.
That's gonna be your hook every episode.
Did Blair survive?
Did Blair survive? Oh god.
We just have some crazy, like cheesy explosion sound, you know, or you know, like crazy crap that we play.
We've done 100 goddamn episodes with no improvement.